This is Troy Wagner.
This is Eric Miller.
We are
Ravers for Recovery.
And if you're listening to this,
so are you.
How was your day?
How was your week?
We want to hear from you. Reach out to us by email, info@raversforrecovery.org. And go ahead and connect with others in recovery by joining our Facebook page. And always stay up to date with the latest news by visiting our website, www.raversforrecovery.org.
And now, join us for this week's podcast.
Camp Clean Beach is a clean and sober camping area for people who want to party but not do drugs or drink during the show. We still party, we just don't party that way.
It's really nice to have like a group of people who are also, you know, being sober the entire time. Makes sobriety a little bit more manageable. There's 3 meetings daily, and Natalie and Mandy are always open to questions. Everyone's really like super supportive.
Being able to come back to like a base camp like this is really supportive, and it feels like a home, you know. We have a living room. You know, we know when the meetings are, so there's a sense of like belonging somewhere within the festival.
Just having some meetings here, just a reminder that there's other people that are like me that need to stay clean to better themselves. It's just so reaffirming for me to be around that and to stay on this path.
Having the ability to come to a place like this, it makes it much more possible and much more comforting. I may have still been able to go to this type of place and stay sober, but I don't know if I would have had it as easy of a time as coming here. Yeah. And having 3 meetings a day to hit, it's rejuvenating the ability to sit down for a meeting for an hour, and then the rest of my day is just that much better.
The main thing that I get out of like being here and being sober is like it just connects me to my more authentic self. And that's just like, that's what life's all about, you know, like you get to go around and just be you. And especially my relationship, those areas where I needed help with, being more open, being more honest, being more upfront. That's what this has done for me with Camp Clean Beach this year.
There's hope to come to these things, and like, you don't have to just not have a life anymore because you're sober and clean. In fact, my life has become much better as a result.
Everyone has a place at Shambhala, and this is a place for clean and sober people, no matter like what clean and sober means to you, whether you're in a 12-step program or just wanting to take a break for the weekend, whether you're wanting to take a break for the year. There's a place for everybody here, and it's a really beautiful thing. I'm just really grateful to be a part of it.
Today on the show, very special episode. We do have Mandy Lawson from Nanaimo, just outside Vancouver, Canada. She's actually been clean and sober for 8.5 years. She is working on Camp Clean Beach at Shambhala Music Festival and Reset Resort at Base Coast. How are you today, Mandy?
Hey, Troy. I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me on the show today. I'm really excited.
Awesome. I watched the video on your Facebook page, or I believe that's the Camp Clean Beach Facebook page. Really awesome stuff that you have going on there at Shambhala. You know, it's really, really cool. So,
thank you.
Of course. So would you like to start off, I guess, just by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself? You've been clean 8.5 years. How has your journey of recovery been so far, personally?
How has it been? Well, first time I tried to get off drugs and alcohol, I was 18.
Okay.
But I won't bore you with the details. But that I tried to do that by myself, and that lasted a year. And then I turned 19, and in Canada, that's when you're legal to drink. As a person that grew up in an alcoholic addict household as a child with like lots of violence and trauma, I used drugs and alcohol and anything else I could use to get out of my body and shove feelings and not feel.
Yep.
And so that lasted until, you know, I was about 30, and it worked well until it didn't, you know, like pressure would build up and up and up inside of me. And then the only thing that would relieve that pressure would be to consume something. And, you know, I remember taking a drink and just having this feeling happen, and the pressure within me would lower. And, you know, and it worked. Like I said, I always often say I spent from, I don't know, like 10 years trying to control and enjoy my drinking, and nothing worked until I found myself in a 28-day program. And at the beginning, I thought it was really important to be clean and sober from all mood and mind-altering substances.
Mm-hmm.
That lasted 2.5 years. And then I started using, it doesn't really matter what I was using.
No.
I was using substances again. And that lasted 6 months. And, you know, in that 6 months, I withdrew from my family. I stopped going to recovery meetings. I stopped connecting with people in my recovery community. I stopped connecting with my higher power, my guide, many of the things that I had done for 2.5 years, I stopped doing. And so it was just the same. I could have been drinking. I could have been doing, you know, XYZ drug, but the outcome was the same. So although I didn't drink in those 6 months, I decided to start over again on my fourth birthday. What would have been my fourth birthday?
Okay.
I just decided to take a 1 year chip in the group that I belong to, because for me it's really important just to be free of everything, because
mm-hmm.
it's all the same. Stops me from being connected to the people that I love and who love me, and I stop being helpful in the world. So, you know, after starting over again, what happened? My life just keeps on getting better, you know?
It gets better every year?
Yeah, and you know, it's never like, you know, like roses and like bubble gum all the time. Like, it's hard work. Life is work. Like,
yeah.
But it's far less work now than when I was, you know, drinking and using. To be of service.
Yeah, that's one of the good. Oh, sorry. Sorry to cut you off there. I was going to say that is one of the things that, you know, I hear a lot in recovery, that no matter, you know, getting clean and sober doesn't mean that we're going to have this great peachy life. You know, life still happens, life on life's terms. And, but now having a clean and sober mind, you know, we're able to spot it before it gets really out of control and correct whatever it is that we need to correct, I guess.
Putting pen to paper and doing the work that has been suggested for me to do by people who have come before me. That's helped me to really see a lot of my, just my behaviors and my patterns. And so I can see those things cropping up easier now. Than I could when I was drinking and using. I would protect, you know, those things that helped me to get through my life up until I knew something different. I would protect my behaviors and my traits to a fault, you know, until I was blue in the face. And now I can see those behaviors faster and, you know, hopefully do something to correct it. You know, if I'm doing, living my like right life in my mind, then I'm able to say sorry and to correct my behavior.
Yeah. So it's more, so it's all of the, internal, you know, you're able to spot the internal, I guess, things, you know, and correct those before they become external, if that makes sense. you know.
Yes. Yeah.
So that, and that's what, thanks to, you know, thanks to putting pen to paper, answering questions, doing steps, you know, which we had a conversation about before, and you're 8.5 years clean and sober, so I should definitely take that advice from you as well and start doing some pen to paper myself.
It's an option, right? Like,
yeah, definitely.
I've stopped saying should.
And will.
You could. You could do those, put the pen to paper, try. You know, should is like, it sounds like shame. So I just, no, I don't do that.
Okay.
Do shame. Fuck shame.
Right. So it's awesome though. 8.5 years. How long into your how long were you clean and sober before you began working on Clean Beats and Reset Resort?
So I was gravy. That's a good question. I took 3 years away from going to Shambhala. I just really wanted to build a solid foundation in my recovery, because at that time there wasn't anything like this within our rave community. And if there was, I didn't know about it. It wasn't happening at Shambhala.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with Shambhala since 2001. And when I got sober, I didn't know what I was going to do. And so my very dear sister friend, Stacy Locke, who is the harm reduction queen,
okay.
suggested that I start something like Camp Clean Beats. What about a sober party area? And so I didn't feel ready to do that at year two in my recovery, so I took the year to plan Camp Clean Beats from my second year of recovery into my third year of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, and then Reset Resort started 3 years ago, but I took a year to plan Reset Resort as well. With the people from Harm Reduction at Base Coast. Another Harm Reduction queen named Stacy, but a different Stacy. So.
Must be.
So I would be 4 years clean and sober, I guess, when we started planning Base Coast, Reset Resort.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
That's the timeline.
And so it's a area of the festival, like a tent, I'm guessing, that's set up. And do y'all have meetings there at like specific times of the day, or is it just a place if people feel like they need to take a break, they can go there at any time and meet someone, or how does it actually work?
So that's a good question, because it covers a lot of information. I'll try to keep it simple as possible. So at Shambhala, Camp Clean Beats is a substance-free camping area for people who are partying without the use of mood or mind-altering drugs. And I know this is controversial, but it includes marijuana at Camp Clean Beats. And so I get lots of questions about it, but that's the information.
It includes marijuana where marijuana is not allowed in there either, or correct? Or it is allowed?
Yeah. It's not allowed.
Not, okay.
You don't want to trigger other people, and if it's a safe space for people who are substance-free, then that's how it is. And if, you know, it's a hot topic, so if anyone wants to message me, they can feel free to contact me. I'm sure we'll let people know to contact me. I'm sure I will regret saying that, but because people really want to talk about it. And I understand medicinal marijuana and using medicinal marijuana, but
it's still a drug, though.
For a lot of people, it was their drug of choice. So that's just, at the beginning, 10 years ago, that's how it was, and it's just kind of carried through. And we would love to support people in any phase of their recovery, whether you're sober curious or, you know, harm reduction, following a harm reduction model. And there are ways that we can support people who are using medicinal marijuana. So please email me and get in touch if you want some supports while you're at.
And how what is that email so they can reach out to you?
They can reach out to me and we can just like talk about ways that we can support them. But to like go into great detail on the podcast about how we support people versus like using medical marijuana, okay. It feels like a hot topic, and okay. I don't want to go on air talking about it.
All right. So at these tents, how has the growth been? How many people did y'all start off with, and how many people do you usually see now?
Can I just rewind back to your previous question?
Of course.
It's okay. I kind of got sidetracked with the marijuana thing. So what we do at Camp Clean Beach is we offer substance-free camping, and we offer it to be a meetup for people. If they like want a sober crew up with people, they can. And we also offer 3 recovery-based meetings a day. So they're not AA, they're not NA. We do not subscribe to any sort of meeting format. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. just for everyone that wants to be substance-free at Shambhala and they need support, want support. That's your place to be. We welcome everyone. You know, there's some people that I don't understand it, but there's people out there, Troy, who don't have substance issues, but they just choose to party sober.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Right.
I'm just not like that. Yeah. And then at Base Coast, at Reset Resort, we offer the same sort of thing, but just no camping right now. My recovery, I really wanted to have a strong foundation in Reset Resort. So we're only 3 years old and our numbers are growing and we're getting more feedback that people would like camping at Reset Resort. So we're on our way. We're just not there yet. At Base Coast, we have a 9 a.m. meditation meeting and then 2 other recovery support meetings. So one in the afternoon and one at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah.
So
2 different parties and 2 different services. They offer different supports.
Awesome. That sounds really cool. Really cool. So you've seen a lot of growth. You have seen growth from whenever you started both of those.
Oh, most definitely. The first year at Shambhala, Camp Queen Beats had 4 campers. Mm-hmm. And we were into our 40s, I believe, this year.
Oh, wow.
We just had our first planning meeting of the year over the weekend. And I believe I was looking at our stats, and I think it was into the 40s. I should know these things, but. There's a lot of information to retain.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And same with, even with Reset Resort, our numbers have been increasing. And the first year, someone reached out to me through the Camp Clean Beats. Pardon me. The first year I went to Base Coast, someone had reached out on the Camp Clean Beats Facebook profile and asked if we were going to be there as a community, we weren't. So what I did was I just made a time to meet with this person who was partying substance free, and we just hung out and like had a two person impromptu meeting. And that was how the seed was planted, that I thought if we could do this at Shambhala, we can do this. There's a need for it at Base Coast. You know, if one person's asking, raising their hand and asking for support, well, then there's got to be other people in this, in the Base Coast community. And there are, and numbers are going up. We've had two sobriety workshops at Base Coast.
Wow.
And they both filled the room. And so there are either, you know, not necessarily people in recovery, but there's sober curious people out there. There are people in recovery. And then there's just those amazing people who just choose to party without drugs or alcohol because that's how they're, it's not.
That's what they've always done, I guess.
Pardon?
I was saying that's what they've always done, I guess, yeah. Right? Party without drugs or alcohol.
It's a beautiful thing. So yeah, there's been huge growth in both of the projects.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you used to go to festivals and all that while you were before you have found recovery, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that compare? How does your personal experience at these festivals compare to now going and being clean and sober? Is it a much more joyous atmosphere? Are you there with, you know, you remember a lot more, I'm sure. You wake up a lot better. But anything you want to say about the experience, your personal experience between going when you were using and then going now that you're, you know, clean and sober?
Okay. So like I said, I went to Shambhala from 2001 to 2008 in active addiction. And then I think I've spent just as many shows on the farm sober and then equal amounts in active addiction. And it just doesn't compare, you know. If I would have known then what I know now, mm-hmm. It would have been different because I fall asleep easier. I wake up. I still wake up dehydrated sometimes, but I snap back faster. And the connections that I make today are more, they're true connections. Even if the other person is intoxicated, it feels more real to me.
I'm sure you can even feel the music more, you know, like the music that I like, the trance and all that, the lyrics, you know. I'm sure you can maybe feel the music more.
Yeah, to be honest, I work so much, I don't, oh my gosh, okay. I don't go out. I will catch a set here and there, but it's more my friend sets that I'm excited to see and excited to catch.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those mean more to me for sure. Awesome. How else is it different? I've had my best Shambhalas clean and sober, and I've only been to Base Coast substance free, so I have nothing to compare mm-hmm. it to. But I think, you know, what makes the party for me is helping other people, as like cheesy as it sounds, it's helping other people have a good time at the party, creating the space so that there's a home base for people who otherwise would just be like wandering around in a city of however many thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what really makes the party for me is being of service. And even after the show, I kind of, I do need time to recuperate. I do have like a party come down, but again, I snap back. I spring back faster.
A lot faster, yeah.
Than I ever would in active addiction.
Yeah, it took me about a week, I think, after EDC, Electric Daisy Carnival there in Vegas to finally, you know. But I, myself, I haven't been to a festival yet while being clean and sober, you know. I would love to, I look very forward to going to one, you know, being in recovery. So, what does the future look like for you know, sober ravers? What do you think? Just continued growth, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. You know, yeah. We've, for the last maybe 6 years, we've had other parties, festivals contact us and, you know, ask if Clean Beats was coming out to their party. And I've always just really encouraged other people to do the same thing that we did. You know, for the first year, I just connected with other people and reached out and information shared. I didn't have a lot of information to share, mm-hmm. As far as, you know, organizing parties and organizing spaces at that time. But I just really encourage other people to do the same thing. If you're part of a party and you're sober, you can feel free, again, you know, to contact Camp Clean Beats, either on a Facebook account or campcleanbeats@gmail.com if you're curious about starting something like this in your area. I would love to sit down and have a conversation and share the information with you, because truly all it takes is like two people and the festival to back you, mm-hmm. and you have something started, you have your own community started, and you know, it might start small, but recovery or substance free partying is becoming more and more of a common thing, and it's catching on, and it's quite trendy right now.
Definitely it is.
It's really amazing. It blows my mind. But where did this come from? I don't know where it came from, but I'm incredibly grateful that it's moved in this direction.
Yep.
More people that are aware that this is an option, you know, maybe the less people that will have to suffer.
Yeah, there's been a lot of loss, I know, in the raver EDM community. Such, you know, one that really put me in motion to start to think about my own recovery again was the loss of DJ Avicii, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the tribute set that Tiesto did at Electric Daisy Carnival to him, you know, that was really emotional.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to tell anyone go ahead.
Oh, were you there for that set?
Yeah, I was there for the DJ Tiesto set at Electric Daisy Carnival, and he started it off by saying, I think it actually says a few months ago, he lost a good friend of his, so, yeah, he played some songs for him, you know, like Seek Bromance, and Coming Home. It was really emotional. But I'm grateful to have been there, you know. I was not clean or sober, you know, but it did affect me and had me think about my recovery again. So, what would you like to tell anyone who is listening and currently struggling with addiction?
Well, you're not alone. That's for sure. You know, and you're feeling like you're struggling with addiction and you haven't faced your own self. Yeah, I hate the word demons, but if you haven't faced it and you're questioning it, you know, I was told a long time ago that like only alcoholics and addicts question whether or not they're alcoholics and addicts.
I do question that.
Well,
I do.
Only alcoholics and addicts.
Right.
You know how the saying goes.
Yeah.
And as I was told that, you know, when I was in my teens, because that's, you know, how far back I was trying to prove that I was, that didn't have a problem. So as soon as I can only speak on my experience, but as soon as I admitted that I was an alcoholic, well, that was one thing, or an addict, or had a problem. As soon as I was like willing to admit that I had an issue, it was heartbreaking. But then, you know, as soon as I faced my bottom, you know, they say then you can start rising up again. And it's true. Once, you know, the first step in making a difference for me was to admit that I had a problem, and then, okay, well, what am I actually going to do about it? And to be honest, I lived in the problem for years and made fun of it and didn't think it was a big deal. Making a choice to ask for help and accept the help saved my life. And it was super humbling, and it crushed. But I do it again in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And I mean, today there's so many places and so many different supports that are available to people that I wasn't aware of 10 years ago or however long ago, you know. So, you know, 12 steps, smart recovery, you know, mental health and addictions. There's just, I could, you know, list and list and list. There's so many different avenues that someone could take. I would just really encourage anyone who's struggling out there to just raise your hand and ask for help, and reach out and ask for help. Go on Instagram, surf around Instagram. There's so many different sober supports out there. Please don't stop trying. If it doesn't work for you, there's somewhere else out there, you know. And if it doesn't work for you, if the place that you looked at for help,
mm-hmm.
just try it again, because it's probably the place where you might want to stick around. Because I know for me, even now, if a someone or something rubs me the wrong way, uh-huh. and it's to do with my ego, it usually I have something to learn from that person.
That's so crazy. It's really like kidding. It's like one other thing that I thought of today that I've heard before, that if it's uncomfortable, then you're probably doing something along the right lines, you know, if that makes sense, you know, because change is uncomfortable, you know. Like me, I want to get back in my comfort zone, go back to Vegas, but yeah, that can't happen.
Yeah.
But
a good friend of mine. Oh, you're really fuzzy right now, Troy. Oh,
go ahead.
You're really fuzzy.
Can you hear me now better?
No, I can hear you, but there's lots of static in the background.
Okay, I can hear you really well.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, great.
I can hear you really well. It's picking up. So, okay. I just want to thank you very, very much for what you are doing there at Shambhala, and I think I pronounced that correct, and also at Base Coast. Thank you also for all the help, you know, that for reaching out to me and the help that you've given me so far, you know, the positive energy and everything. Mm-hmm. And if anyone does want to reach out to you, how could they go about doing that?
They can contact on Facebook. They can get a hold of us through Camp Clean Beats. And then there's probably a / that says Reset Resort, because it's the same community.
Okay.
Or you can connect with us at campcleanbeats@gmail.com. And on Instagram, you can find us at Pathways to Recovery, path.ways to recovery. That's just both of the groups, and then Pathways to Recovery is just the resource that helps people to set up their own substance-free party supports at their rave or okay. their festival. So, yeah.
Awesome.
If that's how they can get in touch, it is my utmost pleasure to be of service to people. So, like I said before, I would really love to pass on any information.
Yep. Are you there? Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Let's see. Well, I am very grateful again, and we'd love to have you on the show. You know, maybe we would one day be able to go to one of these festivals and see you in person. That would be amazing.
That would be so amazing. I would love that. And Troy, thank you for everything you have been doing on the podcast. You guys have been doing. It's, yeah, just another one of those resources, you know. You guys are another link in the chain that... Our chain to freedom, perhaps, mm-hmm. you know, we're never alone. And I'm super grateful that you're doing what you're doing. And yeah, awesome. Making connecting parties and party people and in recovery. And you, by doing what you're doing, you make recovery more accessible and let it be known that it is possible. And life goes on and it gets better in recovery. Well, it got better for me. I don't know. I can't speak for everybody else.
It is what, you know, you get out of it, whatever you're willing to put into it, I believe. Just like anything. So, it was great talking to you. You have been listening to another episode of the Ravers for Recovery podcast. I am Troy Wagner.
I'm Eric Miller.
And we are Ravers for Recovery. And if you listen to this, you are too. Go ahead and join the Facebook group, which is growing quickly. You'll find that with keyword Ravers for Recovery. Also, make sure to check out the website. A lot of cool info on there. That's at raversforrecovery.org. Until next time, again, we are Ravers for Recovery.